very dangerous person. I didn't expect him to be the one to introduce. I think this was a conspiracy because they switched off my phone, my mic, so I could not interrupt also. I'll be careful when I see Radhesham Prabhu next time. I'll have to. Om Jnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Hare Krishna. So it is truly a pleasure to be back here in Radha Gopinath Temple. It has become so exquisitely beautiful and gorgeous, all very much befitting the lordships here and the devotion of all the devotees led by His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj. Today is an auspicious day because it is the day of Lord Jagannath's Snan Yatra. In Puri, even now the festival is going on. It also happens to be the disappearance day of two great associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sridhar Pandit, also known as Sridhar Kollavecha, and also Mukunda Datta, very sweet singer in the kirtan pastimes of Sri Mahaprabhu. However, we cannot cover all these topics, so we will only try to discuss a few things about the Snan Yatra. So it's a little storytelling time. But it's a very, very important festival. And for devotees of Lord Krishna, Lord Jagannath is very important. Lord Jagannath is Krishna himself, directly Krishna, not an avatar of Krishna. He is Krishna himself in a particular mood. He is called the Mahabhav Prakash form of Krishna. Because Jagannath is Krishna who is in Dwarka but feeling separation from the residence of Vrindavan. When Krishna was in Vrindavan, he was not a king. He was only a cowherd boy. Actually, one should not use the past tense, one should use the present tense and the present continuous tense, because Krishna is always living in Vrindavan, and Krishna's eternal form in Goloka Vrindavan is that of a cowherd boy, as we see here on the altar. So when Krishna appeared here in this material world and he brought that Vrindavan with him, he lived in Vrindavan for a little over 10 years. He was born in Mathura and then he was very soon shifted to Vrindavan, to Gokul, and he performed his babyhood pastimes, his childhood pastimes, his boyhood pastimes, his pre-youth pastimes in Braj Bhumi, Sri Vrindavan. And then he moved on to Mathura, stayed there till the age of 28, and then moved on to Dwarka, where he stayed on till the end of his manifest pastimes or his Prakat Leela in this material world. So Lord Krishna performed his pastimes here for about 125 years. So we can see that Krishna spent very few years in Vrindavan out of these 125 years, only 10 or 11 years out of 125 years. But nevertheless, these years in Vrindavan are the most important years, because these pastimes that he performed in Vrindavan are considered the sweetest pastimes of Krishna. Krishna is multifaceted. Just like we all have different moods. Sometimes we are angry, sometimes we are happy, sometimes we are kind, sometimes we are not kind. So Krishna is endowed with unlimited divine qualities. And he manifests these different qualities at different places, at different times, on different occasions, for different purposes. For example, when Krishna wants to demonstrate his quality of anger, ferocity, fierce anger, then he takes the form of Narsinghadev. And in this mood and in this form, he protects his dear devotee Prahlad. So Krishna has many forms which he assumes for these different purposes. And in these forms, he may assume different moods. Because Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, so for each and every mood and for each and every purpose, he can assume different forms. We can't do that. We are one person. When we're angry, we are angry. We are not happy and angry at the same time. If Krishna wants to have a blissful form and an angry form, he can do so by simply expanding himself. So all these forms of Krishna are identical with Krishna's form. And they perform different wonderful pastimes, which are all transcendental. By meditating on these different transcendental forms and pastimes, we can become purified, we can develop love of God, and we can go back to the spiritual world. However, Lord Krishna, who is in Vrindavan, is the origin of all these different forms of the Lord. He is the ultimate, supreme, worshipable personality for everyone. Aradhya Bhagavan Vrajesh Tanayas Taddham Vrindavanam. So, the worshipable personality of Godhead is Krishna, who is the son of Nanda Maharaj, and his abode is Vrindavan. So, Srinath Chakravarti, a great devotee, has clarified that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the original form, Lord Govinda, Lord Krishna, Lord Shyam Sundar, is the son of Nanda Maharaj and he stays in Vrindavan. So in Vrindavan, Krishna performs the most wonderful, sweet pastimes, which are not performed in any other form that the Lord assumes. Lord Krishna by nature is full of sweetness, called Madhurya, and therefore his pastimes in Vrindavan are also extremely sweet. In fact, they are sweeter than any other pastime that Krishna may perform in other places. Therefore, Vrindavan is called Madhurya Dham. It is the abode of sweetness. The pastimes that Krishna performs there are extremely, extremely attractive. What is the meaning of pastime? Srila Prabhupada explains. When Krishna, who is God, who is the Supreme Absolute Truth, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the origin of everything spiritual and material, thinks himself to be a cowherd boy, when he thinks himself to be the son of Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj, although he is the father of every living entity, such thinking of Krishna is called pastime. Srila Prabhupada explains this so beautifully. That is why we need the Acharya's commentaries. So the purports of Srila Prabhupada are like a shining beacon light that illuminate all these different transcendental books. So Krishna likes to think of himself as a cowherd boy. And he lives that role eternally in Vrindavan. And these pastimes of Krishna as Vrindavan, where Krishna takes the cowherd boys out to graze, the cows out to graze, he plays games with the cowherd boys, he has Rasa Leela with the gopis, he serves his mother and father. These are pastimes that are so attractive that they attract even Krishna. Vrindavanam parityajya padam ekam na gacchati. So Vrindavan is such an attractive place for Krishna because of the sweetness of the pastimes there that even Krishna doesn't like to leave Vrindavan. He doesn't take one step outside of Vrindavan. So what is attracting Krishna in Vrindavan? It's not only the trees, it's not only the natural beauty, it's the devotees. Of course, in Vrindavan, even the trees are devotees. The grass is devotee. the air, the water, everything is conscious in Vrindavan, and everything and everyone in Vrindavan is a devotee. But in any case, what really makes Vrindavan attractive for Krishna and which captures his heart is the bhakti or the love of the devotees of Vrindavan, of the residents of Vrindavan. So therefore Krishna can never leave Vrindavan because he is trapped, he is bound by the supremely sweet and intense and great love of the Brajabasis for him. In the spiritual world, there exists Vrindavan, there exists Mathura, there exists Dwarka, there exists Ayodhya. All the holy places of the Lord, they exist in the spiritual world. And by the Lord's divine potency, they also manifest here in this material world, on this earth planet, when Krishna comes here to perform his pastimes in the different incarnations. So when Krishna came to Vrindavan, Mathura came, Dwarka also came. So Krishna had to perform pastimes in all these different places. So soon when Krishna reached his Kaishor age, then he left Vrindavan as far as the Prakat Leela is concerned, as far as the manifest pastimes of Krishna are concerned. And then he went to Mathura. In Mathura he became a Kshatriya. What was he in Vrindavan? He was a Vaishya. What does Krishna say are the duties of a Vaishya in the Bhagavad Gita? Krishi go raksha vanijyam, Vaishya karma svabhavajam. So the Vaishya's duties are cow protection, agriculture and trading. And there are different kinds of Vaishyas depending on the kind of commercial activity you do. There are some Vaishyas who do cow protection only. There are some who do agriculture. There are some who do only trading. So Krishna's father, Nanda Maharaj, was traditionally a cowherder. He was involved in protecting the cows. So Krishna also took on that trade. So when somebody asks, what is God's profession? What does he do? He is not a software engineer or he is not a banker, but he is a cowherdsman. When Prabhupada went to America for the first time and he went to south of USA, which is a cowboy country, he said, yes, Krishna is the original cowboy, because in America they like cowboys. He said, Krishna is the original cowboy. So Krishna performs these different activities, imagining himself to be all these things. So he did these pastimes here. He looked after the cows. He grazed them, then went to Mathura and went to Dwarka. And in this way he finished his tenure of pastimes that he was supposed to do here in the material world. So Krishna's devotees there were feeling intense separation from him. The moment he left Vrindavan, they were always thinking about him. And the only reason that the residents of Vrindavan continued to stay alive is because they were hoping that Krishna would one day come back. And every evening the gopas and gopis would look in the direction of Mathura till it became dark, thinking maybe Krishna is going to come now. And it was simply that hope that kept them alive. So the kind of love, the sweetness of the love and the intensity of the love of the residents of Vrindavan was unparalleled. And Krishna could never forget it. Because the only thing that Krishna can be captured by, the only thing that Krishna can be attracted by is such pure selfless bhakti or love. He is not attracted by anything material. He is not attracted by a display of material opulence and other material qualities. So even when he went to Mathura and when he went to Dwarka, he could never forget Vrindavan. There were times when even as he lay asleep on his bed in the palace in Dwarka, where he became a Kshatriya again, like in Mathura, he would sometimes in the middle of the night call out the names of the Brajabasis. He would call out sometimes, Hey Radhe. He would call out the names of the other gopis, Lalita, Vishakha. And sometimes he would call up the names of his cows, Hey Dhavali, Hey Ganga, Hey Chandani, Hey Hansa, come. So although externally he was playing the role of a Kshatriya, but in his heart, he was a cowboy, a cowherd man of Vrindavan. And he liked that simplicity of the lifestyle over there. Being in the natural surroundings, taking the cows to graze, frolicking in the forest with his friends, imitating the birds and the animals, wrestling with the cowherd boys, killing a few asuras here and there, every day before lunch, as an appetizer. And then of course, doing Rasalila with the gopis, being pampered by Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj. So Krishna is remembering all these things. When he saw the love of the Yadus, he was also very pleased. Amongst the Yadus, the topmost was Uddhava. And Krishna wanted Uddhava to know the glory of the love of the Brajavasis. So he sent Uddhava there on some pretext. And Uddhava came back astonished, completely bewildered. He had thought that the love of the Yadus for Krishna was something that was extraordinary, superlative in this world. But when he saw the love of the Brajavasis for Krishna, then he realized that the love of the Yadus was insignificant in comparison. So much so that Uddhava prayed that even in this life, I am not qualified to be a speck of dust or a blade of grass in Vrindavan. I want to be a blade of grass so that the dust that touches the feet of the Brajabasis will fall on my head. But in this lifetime, I am not qualified for that. So therefore, I pray that in one future life, whenever Krishna thinks me qualified, he may make me a blade of grass in Vrindavan. So this is the kind of love of the Brajabasis for Krishna. And who is recognizing this exalted love? None other than the pure devotee and eternal associate of Krishna and the great authority on spiritual science, Uddhava himself. Uddhava was the last person to whom Krishna gave instructions in this material world before he departed and went back to his spiritual abode, Goloka Vrindavan. And then he instructed Uddhava to go on to Badrika Ashram and wait for his final departure back to Godhead. So Uddhav is a great authority. And he is proclaiming the love of the Brajabasis to be supreme, unparalleled. So Krishna, even in the midst of all the love of the Yadus, in the midst of the opulence of Dwarka, which was again unparalleled, there was nothing like Dwarka. All the cities of today, we think the opulence is in a few motor cars and a few skyscraper buildings. But the opulence of Dwarka leaves our modern day cities look like little slums. Such was the opulence and the glory of big cities like Dwarka, which were personally crafted and made by great celestial architects like Vishwakarma. Unimaginable, we cannot even think of such opulence. So Krishna, the lord of all opulence, he is the lord of the six kinds of opulences, Shad Aishwarya Sampanna. He has all these six opulences, but these were not satisfying him. Therefore, even at night, he was thinking sometimes about Radharani, about the gopis, about Subal, Shridama, Ujjwal, Devaprastha, Madhumangal. He was thinking about his cows. He was thinking about Govardhan, about Yamuna. And these thoughts used to always be in his mind. And the queens of Krishna in Dwarka would think, we are doing everything possible in our power to serve our husband, Krishna. But still somehow, what is it that is making Krishna's mind stray from Dwarka. Because even the residents of Dwarka couldn't quite fathom how great was the love of Vrindavan, of the Brajabasis. So therefore, even the queens who were the most intimate to Krishna, they also could not understand the exalted nature of the devotion of the Brajabasis. And Krishna, in that mood, used to feel intense separation, sometimes in the waking state and sometimes in the state of sleep. Of course, Krishna, being the Supreme Personality of Godhead, doesn't sleep like us. In fact, he doesn't do anything like us. He doesn't eat like us. He doesn't sleep like us. Everything he does is sweet. So, and transcendental. So this form of Lord Jagannath is the form that Krishna assumed when he was feeling intense separation from the residents of Vrindavan. Of course, there are so many pastimes in this regard, but I'll just mention one pastime in brief, because everything cannot be accommodated in one class. When Mother Rohini visited Dwarka from Vrindavan, see, all the members of the Yadu dynasty wanted to hear the glories of Vrindavan and the residents of Vrindavan. So she said, I will tell you, but Krishna Balaram, they will not be able to tolerate it. Tolerate it in the sense that they will become so overwhelmed with remembrance of Vrindavan and the Brajabasis that immediately they will leave Dwarka and rush to Vrindavan. So all the Yadus became very concerned. No, that should not, that cannot happen. We will not allow that to happen. But still we want to hear about Vrindavan. So alright, we will have it, we'll take some precautions. So Mother Rohini, you please tell us these pastimes and we will post Subhadra Devi at the gate. She will stand at the gate and she will be our watchman. And to use political correct language for nowadays, she is a watch person. So then she will be standing guard at the gate and she will make sure that Krishna Balaram don't enter. So then Mother Rohini began to explain the different pastimes, right from the childhood pastimes to all the later pastimes. And nobody knew how time was passing. They were completely absorbed in these wonderful descriptions of Lord Krishna's pastimes there. Somehow or the other, Krishna, because he's the Supreme Lord, he knows everything. So he and Balaram came, sensing that something is happening here. He came outside and saw Subhadra Devi in a strange position. Subhadra Devi had been listening in at the door. She was eavesdropping. And when she heard all these wonderful pastimes, she just went into a trance of ecstasy. And she was also absorbed in the descriptions and she wasn't doing her duty as a watchman very well. So when Krishna Balaram came, she hardly even noticed that they were there. But Krishna Balaram couldn't go in because she was standing at the door. So then they just put their ears to the wall and they were hearing what was going on. What was going on? Krishna's pastimes. So such is the nature of Krishna's beautiful pastimes that Krishna himself is attracted to them. Krishna wants to hear his own pastimes. So if Krishna wants to hear, why not us? The same happened in the case of Lord Ramachandra. When Lav and Kush, the sons of Lord Ram and Sita, had been taught the Ramayana by Valmiki Muni, Lav and Kush went singing in a very, very beautiful and melodious tone. Everywhere, all over the country, they would walk and sing with their musical instruments. And people would be completely enchanted. And they would hear. Then they came into Ayodhya. As they were going in the streets, Lord Ram heard they were there. He didn't know at that time that they were his sons. Because Sita Devi had been banished to the forest. And these boys were born in the forest. So Lord Ramachandra had never seen them till date. So he called them in, into his darbar, into his court. And then he asked them to chant, and all the ministers and courtiers and prominent citizens of Dwarka had been invited. And then Love and Kush gave a wonderful musical rendition of the Ramayana. And Lord Ram was listening, and as he was listening, he went into rapt attention. And he just didn't know how the time passed. It was his own activities. But still, he was listening as if he was hearing for the first time. And he was feeling it very, very nectarian. So this is the nature of Krishna's pastimes, that they appear to be fresh all the time. Nitya navanavayamana. It doesn't matter that we've heard Krishna's stealing butter pastime before, or that we've heard his pastime of subduing Kaliya before, but each time we hear, it is nice to hear more and more. So Krishna and Balaram were outside, hearing, and they became so absorbed in this description of the pastimes that they started manifesting in their divine persons all the ecstatic symptoms. Their hair started standing on end, their eyes became wide, and then their arms started shrinking, their arms and legs started shrinking into their bodies. And finally, when Narad Muni came there, he saw, "What is this? Who is this?" And then Narad Muni was told, "Yes, these are the forms, my dear Lord, please keep these forms. This is actually the real mystery of the form of Lord Jagannath. Therefore, he's called the Mahabhava Prakash. Mahabhava means that extremely exalted state where one feels separation from Krishna and from Vrindavan. But here, it is Jagannath, who is Krishna, who is feeling separation from Vrindavan. That Jagannath, along with Baladev and Subhadra, all three of them who had manifested these symptoms, they appeared in Purushottam Kshetra Sri Jagannath Puri, in the famous Jagannath temple there. And 500 years ago, that same Krishna, who had appeared on earth as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, lived there for many years. And every day he would go and take darshan of Lord Jagannath. And every year during the Rath Yatra, he would participate in the festival. He would come in front of the cart of Lord Jagannath, chant, dance, and offer many, many wonderful prayers to the Lord. Now, here are two forms of Krishna. Both are Krishna. Jagannath on the cart is Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu on the floor is also Krishna. Both are forms of Krishna in separation. But there is a difference. Lord Jagannath is Krishna who is feeling separation from Vrindavan. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna who has assumed the mood of Srimati Radharani, who is feeling separation from Krishna. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna feeling separation from Krishna. And Jagannath is Krishna feeling separation from Vrindavan. So both are forms of Krishna. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to Jagannath Puri, along with many, many devotees, he also performed many wonderful pastimes, which Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami has so wonderfully described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So this Lord Jagannath, he appeared many, many years ago in Jagannath Puri. Jagannath Puri actually is known as Sri Kshetra, also as Purushottam Kshetra. It is described in the scriptures that this place is also directly the spiritual world. Even though it appears to be the material world, but it is not destroyed when the material world is destroyed. One time there was a gathering of great sages, and the glories of Sri Kshetra Purushottam were explained by Jaimini Rishi. Even before that, what had happened is that the Supreme Creator Brahma of this universe, that is, beyond him is Krishna, he was contemplating on how the residents of the material world could be freed from all their sinful activities. Brahma, being very compassionate, being a great devotee of the Lord, was thinking that the living entities in the universe are so much attached to lust and greed and envy and anger, and they perform so many sins, and then they have to go to hell. So how can these people be saved and delivered? So the Lord appeared before him very kindly and said, Brahma, you know, there is a transcendental place in the middle planetary system of the earth, and I have manifested this Sri Kshetra. It is to be found near the Mahanadi river. So you go there. So Brahmaji went there, and he was astonished to find this most beautiful place. In this Sri Kshetra, there was a hill, and this hill was called Neelachal, the Blue Mountain, or Neeladri, or Neela Parvat. Extremely beautiful, with so many beautiful birds chirping, the natural beauty was astonishing. And there, as instructed by the Lord, he went to the deity who was presiding there. His name was Neel Madhav. He was a four-handed form of Lord Vishnu, extraordinarily beautiful and extraordinarily ornamented, wonderful clothing, and he was worshipped very, very nicely. So Brahmaji was there, and at that point, there was a kund called Rohini Kund there. Brahmaji saw something astonishing. There was a crow that was flying over there. The crow happened to dive into the water. It touched the water. And as soon as the crow touched the water, the crow's body was transformed into a four-armed spiritual form of a resident of Vaikuntha. And he ascended straight up to Vaikuntha from there. Brahmaji was just left looking speechless. At that time, Yamaraj came, all the way from Yamaloka. There was some problem now in his calculations. His justice system had been interfered with. The court of Yamaraj, according to his law books, something else was happening here. So he came there, and then he offered his obeisances to Lakshmi Devi and Neela Madhav, and he said, my dear lordships, I am a little bewildered and confused now. See, according to the instructions you have given me and according to the laws that you have made, I have a system of justice. This is piety and this is sin. One performs a certain kind of activity, pious or sinful, he gets a certain kind of reaction. Now here I see that this living entity was in the body of a crow. And my legal records show me that he is a crow. And now, suddenly he has gone back to Vaikuntha. What happens to all his karma? What happens to all the system of justice that I am supposed to dispense? So I am a little confused about my duty. So Neela Madhav kept quiet, but Lakshmi Devi spoke. She said, my dear Yamaraj, there are many things you don't know. You don't know that this is Sri Kshetra Purushottam, Purushottam Kshetra. This is directly the spiritual world. You have no jurisdiction in this place here. Your service extends beyond this region. You are temple president elsewhere. Yeah, here you are not, this your authority doesn't extend here. So, whoever is within the boundaries of this Sri Kshetra, you have nothing to do with them. Please know that because this is the spiritual world, so whoever is here is destined for the Lord's abode. So Yamaraj was astonished to hear all this. But my lordships, even if Brahma didn't know, what is my fault if I didn't know? Brahma also was told just now when he came here and he saw this. So what is to be done now? You please tell me, what is the glory of Sri Kshetra? I would like to know, how many tirthas are here? What is the history behind this place? And then Lakshmi Devi started narrating the glories of Sri Kshetra. Those of you who go on a parikrama or a yatra to Jagannath Puri, when you go there, perhaps you'll hear all these detailed descriptions and pastimes, maybe of what Lakshmi Devi said and so on. Time does not permit us today to tell all these different things that Lakshmi Devi said. But after having described the glories of Sri Kshetra, then she concluded her description by saying, she looked at Brahma, who had also been hearing all this. She said, "My dear Brahma, many years later, in the Manvantara of Swarochisha Manu, in the Satya Yuga, there will be a king called Indradyumna. He will require your guidance. So you should please make yourself available for his guidance. You please instruct him that he should do 1,000. I don't remember, it was 100 or 1,000. So you should tell him to do 1,000 Ashwamedha Yajnas. And then I will manifest before him. We will all, Neela Madhav will come before him in the most beautiful form of Lord Jagannath." So Yamaraj and Brahma then departed for their respective abodes after offering obeisances to Neela Madhav and Lakshmi Devi. Meanwhile, Jaimini, at some gathering of sages in the forest many, many years later, was asked to describe Indradyumna's pastimes, because after having narrated the conversation between Lakshmi Devi and Brahma and Yamaraj, and when the topic of Indradyumna came up, the assembled sages wanted to hear about Indradyumna. Who is this king? And what were his glories? And why was he chosen for this great opportunity? So then, Jaimini began describing that Indradyumna was the king of the place called Avanti. Avanti is modern day Ujjain. He was a Rajarishi. He was extremely pious and devoted. He was actually a pure devotee of the Lord. And he would always encourage sadhus to come to his kingdom, and particularly to his palace and his court. And he would have long discussions on spiritual subjects. He was also a just ruler. He would not neglect his stately responsibilities. And he was greatly loved by his subjects. One time a traveler came there who was a mendicant, and he asked, "Where have you been? Which is the best holy place on the earth?" And this traveler described the glories of Sri Kshetra and Niladri and the glories of Neela Madhav. The king Indradyumna was greatly captivated by this information. He said, "I want to have darshan of Neela Madhav." So the brother of the minister, whose name was Vidyapati, volunteered for this service. He reached by walking and walking for a long time, for many days, towards the north, towards the northeast of Bharatvarsha on the sea coast, as was described by that mendicant. He reached there, entered into the beautiful Kshetra, Sri Purushottam Kshetra. Eventually, in the dense forest, he met some aborigines who were called the Shabaras. They took care of him. Their head was Vishwavastu. Upon revealing his desire and the purpose of his visit, Vishwavastu was a little hesitant, because he felt that now the king's emissary has come here, and that means the king will come with all his royal paraphernalia and his subjects. And the simple mood of service which I have been enjoying here and which Neela Madhav has been accepting from me will be stopped. But nevertheless, he was being a great devotee. He understood the importance of culture, of welcoming a guest, especially somebody who had come to see the Lord. So upon the request of Vidyapati, he took Vidyapati to see Neela Madhav. Vidyapati was extremely enraptured by this beautiful darshan. And after having taken darshan, he took leave of Vishravasu and went back. No sooner had Vidyapati left than a terrible storm came upon that region. And nobody could understand what was even a few feet ahead. The trees were uprooted and the Shabaras were in great anxiety. And they looked here and there after the storm subsided and they could not find Nilamadhav. Even the demigods were in anxiety. They came down because the demigods used to come and every day offer bhoga to the Lord. And that bhoga the Shabaras used to partake also, that Mahaprasad. So then an Akashvani came, a voice in the sky, that Lord, that Supreme Lord Nilamadhav will no longer be visible in this form. The demigods were aghast. The Shabaras were crestfallen. What to do now? In great grief, they just tried to pass their days feeling intense separation from the Lord. Meanwhile, Vidyapati had gone to Avanti. He informed the good tidings to the king that, yes, I have found Nilamadhav. And the king said, wonderful news, we will all go there. So he did an extraordinary thing. It's not that he went there alone. He made an announcement to all his citizens. All of you should pack your bags and we will all go to Sri Kshetra Nilachal and have darshan of Nilamadhav and we will all settle there permanently. Just like imagine, if all the devotees of Radha Gopinath temple were to go to Vrindavan or Mayapur or Puri, pack your bags and all go and settle permanently there. Right? But actually don't need to because Vrindavan, Mayapur, Jagannath Puri are all here. Because Radha Gopinath, wherever they are, all the holy places are there. So in any case, this most extraordinary venture happened. All the praja of his kingdom packed their bags. It was a huge procession, you can only imagine. They packed all their belongings, bullock carts, thousands of camels, elephants, bullock carts, and people with soldiers. Everybody started walking and walking. Of course, it was a much simpler life in those days. So you didn't have to have packing television sets and washing machines and computers and whatnot. So they had some simple utensils and some things. And the houses, they just left them behind. Because they didn't have to pay huge amounts of money, 50% white, 50% black, to get those houses. They were just simple houses, even though they were very opulent. But such was the opulence of nature that they could easily construct these houses wherever they went. They left behind a whole opulent kingdom and went there. And as they traveled and they reached the outskirts, not quite into Sri Kshetra, but in the outskirts, they met the king of Utkal. The king of Utkal came there, he welcomed. And then he said, O King Indradumna, it's sad news now. Because of the great storm here, there's a lot of famine. People are dying. And we don't know, we are not able to see Nilamadhav. Because everything is topsy-turvy, the trees have fallen, the mountains are in disarray. So King Indradumna was a little disturbed by this. But Narad Muni said, my dear king, don't worry. Have faith, you are a great Vaishnav. The Lord has his own plans. So eventually they went forward. They went to Sri Kshetra to reach the outskirts. There are many, many wonderful more pastimes that happened there. And the tirthas of the holy places have been described there. Especially all the Shivalingas, how Lord Shiva came and everything. But in any case, they finally reached Nilachal. Narad Muni told Indradumna, now I will arrange for deity of Lord Narasimhadev. You go here to this place, Nilakanta, and you build a temple so that the deity will face the west. And so within 4 days, a grand, exquisite temple for Lord Narasimhadev had been constructed. Because Vishwakarma's son came personally to construct. And on the fifth morning, Narad Muni came with the deity, and there was a grand installation ceremony for Lord Narasimhadev. And some mantras of Lord Narasimha were also chanted. Actually, Lord Narasimha plays a very important role in the worship in Lord Jagannath. This is something many devotees may not know, but the mantras chanted there are the Narasimha mantras, mostly. So in any case, having done that, then Indradyumna Maharaj was instructed by Narad Muni to now build the temple for the Lord. He said, Brahma has instructed me that the Lord will advent, and that now you, O great king, must build this temple. So construction work began. A wonderful temple was constructed. In the meanwhile, the Indradyumna Maharaj had a dream in which the Lord appeared to him, not as Jagannath, but as Vishnu. He relayed this dream to Narad Muni. And also then one fine day, a great log appeared in the sea. This log had the marks of Shankha, Chakra, Gada, Padma, the paraphernalia of the Lord. They were very, very special. They were brought. Vishwakarma came personally in the guise of an old man. He carved the wood, but his condition was that nobody should open this door. Nobody should see what I am doing. And the Shastras explain that at that time he mentioned that anybody who hears the noise of the carving will actually develop a lot of miseries in his life. So nobody should come near. So the doors were closed. Finally, after many days, when the doors opened, the most beautiful forms of Lord Jagannath, Baladev and Subhadra appeared. And this day of the appearance of Baladev, Jagannath, Subhadra is today. Sri Jagannath Swami ki jai, Sri Baladev ki jai, Sri Subhadra Maya ki jai. So the Snan Yatra is also the day on which Lord Jagannath appeared in this form. Lord Jagannath is Krishna. So he appeared on the Ashtami. He appeared there in Vrindavan. But here he appeared in the Purnima, in the month of Jyeshtha. But it's just that Krishna in a different form, in the mood of separation from Vrindavan, he appeared. So this day is considered also, this day of Snan Yatra, is considered the day of the appearance of Lord Jagannath, Baladev and Subhadra. And in the meanwhile, once the deities were carved, the temple was ready, but now the Pran Pratishtha had to be done. The deities had to be installed. So Narad Muni said, actually since all this started, I have not even informed Lord Brahma of what has happened. So I have to go and give him a report. So Indradyumna Maharaj said, O great sage, please take me along with you. So Narad Muni said, all right. So Indradyumna Maharaj went with Narad Muni all the way from earth to Brahmaloka. At that time the doorkeepers at Brahma's room said, he is in a musical performance at this time. Please wait for some time. He is singing a particular rag. When the rag is over, then you may go in. So they went in when Brahmaji had finished singing that rag, and Brahmaji was very happy to see them, and the king prostrated himself in full obeisance before Brahma, and he extended the invitation that we want to do this Pran Pratishtha ceremony, so we'll be happy, please come. Meanwhile, the demigods had also come to have darshan of Brahmaji, they also came in there. And at that time, the demigods said, my dear Brahmaji, we are puzzled by one question. Earlier, the Lord was present as Neelamadhav on the Neelachal. But then suddenly he disappeared, and that same Neelamadhav has now appeared as Jagannath. What is the reason for this? So Brahmaji said, actually, I will tell you the secret. The secret is that in the first half of my life, first 50 years, Brahmaji also lives 100 years. But each year of Brahma is very, very long compared to the earthly time. So the life of Brahma is called a dviparardha, two halves of Brahma's life, first 50 years and the second 50 years. So he said, in the first 50 years, the pratham parardha, the first half of my life, the predominating deity in Sri Kshetra is Nilamadhav. Now I have crossed my 50th birthday. Now I'm entering the second half of my life. And for this second life, a half of my life, now the Lord will appear as Jagannath. So that is the reason why this change has taken place now. And then, accompanied by Indradumna Maharaj and Narad Muni, Brahmaji went on his swan carrier down to Purushottam Kshetra on the earth planet. Actually, Indradumna Maharaj and Narad Muni went a little earlier as an advance party so that they could welcome Brahmaji when he came. By the time, of course, a whole Manvantara had gone by. One Manvantara is 71 Chatur Yugas. One Chatur Yuga is Satya, Treta, Dwapar, Kali, these four ages. It's called one Chatur Yuga. When this Chatur Yuga rotates 71 times, it is the lifetime of one Manu. So it's called Manvantara. So one Manvantara, that is lakhs and lakhs of years, had elapsed. So when Indradumna Maharaj came back, he didn't recognize anybody, obviously, because many, many, many thousands of generations had gone, but the temple was still standing. So immediately Indradumna Maharaj began to make all the grand arrangements for establishing the deity, for making preparations for Brahmaji's arrival. Meanwhile, there was a king called Gala, because he was currently ruling. And when he heard that some king has come and he's gone into the temple and making arrangements for the deity installation, he was saying, who is this king? I am the king. Who has come here into this territory? So he came here with the army. And then the moment he understood, he saw King Indradumna, then he offered apologies. He said, please forgive me. I did not know that you have come. And for what purpose? Because I know that now you have come back, come from Brahmaloka, no longer are you going to be satisfied staying on the earth. So Indradumna Maharaj also said, pacified him and said, yes, you are the king now. I was the king one Manvantara ago. So now it is not proper for me to stay here when you are the king. So I will return. But let us have a grand installation ceremony for Lord Jagannath. By the time Brahma arrived on his swan carrier, a nice golden ladder was given for Brahma so that he could descend from his swan. And then the preparation started. A nice golden Vedi, a sacrificial altar, was prepared, already ready, kept ready. The deity was brought there, all the three deities were brought, and a grand Abhishek was performed with 108 golden pots from the Suna Kua, the golden pond, because Narad Muni had instructed King Indradumna to dig a well nearby in the temple compound and to take water from that well. And so Jagannath was bathed, Baladev Subhadra Maya also, and a grand installation ceremony was performed by Brahmaji, and then the deities were formally installed, the Pran Pratishtha was done in the temple. In this way, the Snan Yatra and the Abhishek ceremony was performed. And this ceremony is celebrated to date. Every year, on this day, the Snan Yatra ceremony begins. The Lord is bathed, He is physically bathed with many, many pots of cool water because this is the hottest day of the month, actually. Normally, those of you who worship deities, when you do the Abhishek every morning, you don't actually physically bathe the big deities. You bathe the small deities, the Utsav Murtis. And the Utsav Murtis actually accept that bathing on behalf of the main deities. But on this day in Jagannath Puri, the main deities are bathed. It's a very, very wonderful and colorful festival. They are brought out in a pahandi. Pahandi means a dancer stepping like this. They move because they're very heavy and they're a certain way on some cotton ropes that they come in. And they sway. Looks very exotic when they come in. And that's the time when everyone can take darshan of Jagannath. They're brought onto the altar and then pots and pots of cool water are poured on their lordships. And because so much cool water has been poured, then Lord Jagannath falls sick. He gets cold, feels a little feverish. So then for 15 days he takes sick leave. He doesn't give darshan. And at this time, he retires for 15 days. And this period is called the Anavasara. It's also called Nibhrita. Nibhrita because at this time, Lord Jagannath enjoys a Swakiya Ras with Lakshmi Devi. Swakiya means within marriage, because now he remembers I'm the Lord and Lakshmi is my consort. So now I should also spend some time with her. So 15 days he spends with her, and there because he is sick, he gets some special diets of fruit juices and many things. And it was the Lord's desire, as communicated by Brahma, that in this 15-day period, the regular Brahmins will not worship Lord Jagannath. The worship in this period is carried out by the descendants of the Shabaras who originally worshipped Nilamadhav. That was the benediction that the Lord gave Vishwavasu. That your descendants will be the ones to worship me at this time. So they are the ones who take care of the Lord, who feed him, worship him, nicely take care of him. They are called Dayitas. So because Lord Jagannath has been bathed and he is painted with natural ointments, natural minerals, not with chemical paints. So naturally when you bathe, then all the paint comes off. So then he needs a fresh coat of paint. So that fresh coat of paint is called Angarag. And he gets a fresh new youthful body because he's freshly painted. So all the cosmetics and the makeups of this world, everyone does perverted reflections of that. The original makeup is for Lord Jagannath, for Lord Krishna. So then, it's called Nava Yauvanam because he again looks fresh and youthful. And this goes on for 15 days. In these 15 days, the devotees in Jagannath Puri are extremely miserable because they don't get to see Lord Jagannath. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was there in Puri, he could not tolerate being in Puri for those 15 days because he could not take darshan. So he would go to the nearby place called Alal Nath. Actually, originally it is Alwar Nath. The Alwars of South India from the Sri Sampradaya, one of their priests, they came. They were called to worship a deity of Lord Vishnu who has four arms. So he was called Alwar Nath. But gradually over a period of time, it became known as Alal Nath or Alara Nath. So Mahaprabhu used to spend those 15 days there. But he never saw Alar Nath as Vishnu. He saw Alar Nath as Shamsundar playing the flute in Vrindavan. And when he offered obeisances one time in great ecstasy, even the stone under his body melted. And the impression of Gauranga Mahaprabhu's body, transcendental body, is still there in that stone. And those of you who have gone to Alar Nath, you may have seen that stone, that Shila, on which Mahaprabhu had offered obeisances. So in any case, this 15 days period gets over. But on the 14th day, although every other part of Lord Jagannath, Baladev, Subhadra, their bodies have been painted, only the eyes remain. So one day before the end of this 15-day period, the eyes are painted. And that's called Netrotsava. And then now Jagannath sees. He is still lying down in an oblique position. He is not yet stationed properly because he is still supposed to be not fully recovered. And when he is ready, the 14 days are over, and the 15th day comes. At the end of the 15 days, then comes the grand festival of Rath Yatra. Now Jagannath has recovered from his illness and he's feeling, oh, I have not given darshan to my beloved devotees for so many days. They must be hankering to get my darshan, and I also want to get darshan. And of course there are many other esoteric reasons behind the Rath Yatra festival. So then Lord Jagannath, Baladev, Subhadra go out and have the festival. So that is the significance of this Snan Yatra festival. This is regularly celebrated. Many devotees go for the Rath Yatra festival, but sometimes devotees should also go for the Snan Yatra festival. That's also something unique. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would participate in this festival regularly. Every year, for many, many years, he would relish all these different festivals of Lord Jagannath. Shri Snan Yatra Mahotsav Ki Jai. Shri Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Devi Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande. Thank you very much. Any comments or questions? Yes, please. Is there a mic system or how does one? In the back? How many of you have seen Snan Yatra in Puri? One, two, only two people.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji. Prabhuji, this terrorist attack a couple of days past, the war between the Islam and the rest of the world. In those days also innocent kings are killed and kings are molested for want of kingdom. However, the Srila Prabhupada has solved to a certain extent only. Why not in a full extent?
He has left something for you and me. So let us work together to do it. Alright? Hare Krishna. Any other question? Please raise your hand if you have a question. Yeah. So let me know who you are, otherwise it's an Akashwani coming, somebody is speaking. Yeah.
Hare Krishna, sir.
Hare Krishna.
You were mentioning that pastime means when Krishna, he assumes, he thinks himself to be a cowherd boy.
And acts accordingly.
Many a times we hear that like Prabhupada pastime or pure devotee's pastime. How can we understand that?
Of course, pastimes in one sense means activities of the Lord and of His pure devotees. In very simple language, that's also pastime. So any activity performed by the Lord and the great souls are also called pastimes. One last question. Yes, the back please. You can pass the mic.
Krishna Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you for the lovely narration of the pastime. I just have one question. I just want to know when exactly the deities were installed. When exactly? Because you mentioned that Krishna, Balaram, Subhadra went into a trance. So was it in this avatar when Krishna had come 5,000 years back, or was it long back?
Even when the three were outside.
Yes.
You see, Jagannath has been there from Brahma's 50th birthday, right? Now Brahma is in his 51st year. So many, many ages have gone. And these pastimes keep repeating. So it is not that this is the first time that it has happened. But it shows the mood. This pastime, it indicates why Lord Krishna appears as Lord Jagannath. It's not that only from that point on that the Lord became Jagannath. Not like that. It just indicates the reason. It shows how and why Lord Jagannath assumed that form. Okay, one question over there.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Actually, outside I saw that we change bodies, but our soul remains one throughout our different lives. Recently, I lost my sister. So I want to know, like we do these 13-day rituals to free the spirit of the person. How we come to know that person is still there or is he taking birth, that we read in Gitas?
Of course, this question is not quite a subject of our discussion today. I would suggest there are many wonderful courses that are being conducted here. 7-day courses where you can get all this basic knowledge of the Bhagavad Gita. If you attend these courses, all this information will be easily available to you. And also please read Srila Prabhupada's books, which are available downstairs.
Yes, or I have.
Where?
Yeah.
Here?
Yeah, thanks.
So please do that. Hare Krishna. So thank you very much. We'll stop here. Now there will be some kirtan. Hare Krishna. Shri Shri Radha Gopinath ki jai. Shri Shri Gaur Nitai ki jai. Shri Gopal ji ki jai.